Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The city of San Antonio passed a new ordinance that prohibits the sale of tobacco products to people under the age of 21. The policy also includes e-cigarettes, and this takes effect on October the 1st. The change is part of a larger movement called Tobacco 21, which advocates say raising the minimum age to buy tobacco from 18 to 21 years old will save lives. What should community members and non-San Antonio area tobacco retailers know about this new rule? How will it be rolled out? How do officials plan to measure success? How are they going to enforce it? The San Antonio Metropolitan Health District will host two stakeholder meetings. One's on April 11th, and that's going to gather public input about Tobacco 21. Our guests this afternoon were joined by Mario Martinez. He's the interim Assistant Director for the Environmental Health and Safety Division for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, and Gina Juarez is a Senior Director of the Prevention Resource Center for the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. You're invited to call in. Tell us what you think about this ordinance. This is now, you know, locked in. We're going to be doing this unless the City Council really has a change of heart. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email the source at tpr.org. San Antonio is the first city in Texas to raise the age. What do you think about that? So tell me, Mario, about how we're rolling this out.
Okay. The ordinance took effect on, well, the passage was January 11th of this year with the effective date of October 1st, 2018. And so right now during this period, we are looking to seek input from the community and tobacco retailers on how to best share that information and the education out to young people, families, and of course the tobacco retailers. So we have plans for how do we do that for community and how do we do that for tobacco retailers. And again, part of that is engaging those folks into the conversation.
Making sure that everyone is aware of this new change, because this is a new deal. I mean, this is totally, no one else is doing this in Texas. A lot of people just assume, I'm 18 now, I can go buy a pack of smokes if I want.
Correct. And so this is new, and we're taking this opportunity to take the next couple of months to look at engaging folks and conversation about what does the ordinance say, what does it cover, who does it impact, and having that dialogue is really critical before October 1st.
Gina Juarez, so help us understand, how does raising the tobacco age to 21, how does that save lives?
So raising the age helps is an evidence-based strategy, and it shows that when you raise the age of a substance, it helps to reduce the risk, reduce youth usage. And so raising the age to 21 makes it less accessible to youth, and the less youth we can get to start smoking at a young age, the less likely they become adult smokers.
Okay, so we got some callers. James is on the line, and the number to call in is 210-614-8980. James, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks, David. I love your show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I wanted to call in with a comment. So I started smoking cigarettes in middle school. In sixth grade, we would start smoking before school. I was about 14. And then through middle school and high school, I also developed a habit with a lot of other drugs. And when I graduated from high school, I saw pretty quickly that drugs are not going to be conducive to being successful in the lifestyle that I wanted. I quit drugs. I quit binge drinking. I quit all of that.
Good.
But I'm still having a hard time stopping tobacco. And so I think it's so addictive, and starting or making it legal at an older age is really going to help people to see it's not a good life decision.
James, thank you so much for calling in with that story. So when we talk about banning tobacco, we're also talking about dip, snuff, and vaping products as well, because it's not just cigarettes or cigars or pipes or whatever else. So what does that mean for the retailers? Because we're hearing from the retailers that they're saying that this is unfair to them and that they're going to be losing out on their on profits. So what are we telling them, Mario?
So first and most important is that, again, tobacco use continues to be the leading cause of preventable deaths in the U.S. That's important. And so this is why, you know, we looked at Tobacco 21. This is why City Council felt it was important with community support behind it to make this happen. So one of those things about the tobacco revenue, it's estimated about 2% of total revenue. For those between the ages of 20 18 to 20. And so when we look at the overall healthcare costs in our community, we have to kind of weigh those costs of our community when it comes to health. And so, but again, going back to the education and prevention of tobacco is so critical. And as the caller said, if we start early with that information, it will make a definite impact in our community.
Gina, the caller's talked about starting to smoke when he was in middle school. Obviously, you're not 18 in middle school. So was it that people, is this law not being really being enforced now?
Well, San Antonio is the first in Texas to have the tobacco 21.
Right. What about now with tobacco 18? I mean, if you're 16, can you buy a pack of cigarettes in San Antonio? Do people just kind of like look the other way? How do you get them when you're in middle school?
Sure. Well, because the law right now is 18 years old, we have 18-year-old high school seniors. And so there's more accessibility to the younger freshmen, sophomore, juniors who are in high school. And right around that freshman age, you know, youth are starting to identify themselves. They want to look older. And, you know, the initiation of first use with tobacco happens at a young age. And according to the Texas School Survey, in this area, 30% of youth are saying that they're smoking a tobacco product, which includes cigarettes, smokeless, and the e-vapes.
Okay. And so when also the caller talked about when this is the hardest thing that he has to kick. He's done other stuff, but somehow nicotine, the way it interacts with the brain, is the hardest thing that's out there. Is that true, Gina?
Sure, absolutely. The addiction from nicotine is as strong as the addiction of heroin, right? It's really hard to stop. And so there's a lot of money that's put into tobacco cessation products, gum, the patch. There are different programs, but people struggle with that nicotine addiction.
Okay, another caller. This is Charles. And Charles, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
All right, go ahead.
Actually, listening to what she just had to say, I have a couple things. But I'm wondering why, if in the United States 18 is considered a legal adult, that not just y'all, but several entities are trying to make 21 a legal age to do anything at this point in time. And I guess my statement for Gina and the nicotine being so hard to kick is, instead of regulating the age, why don't y'all start regulating the tobacco company and all of the extra drugs and chemicals that they're putting in the cigarettes?
Okay, Charles, thank you for the call. So the idea is about raising the age to 21. And many times we see the age of adulthood is at 18. It's 17 if you commit a crime, and it's 21 for buying a drink. And so there's different things for different ages. And so Mario Martinez, is there some level we have to look at why 18 is good for adults in one ways and 21? I mean, what's up with that?
Well, when you look at what just Gina just stated, which is basically who's supplying like 90%+ of the tobacco to teens, it's going to be your 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. And so in order for us to curb that, you know, increasing the age to 21, so then you have 21, 22-year-olds, they're not likely to be hanging around teens. Therefore, it's going to help reduce that tobacco and nicotine use in our young population. You know, what's interesting, our health inspectors are already in the community handing out these fact sheets to tobacco retailers. And I was talking to them yesterday about that interaction. One of these tobacco retailers who also sells tobacco said, this is going to make our life a lot easier because now we have to check for ID the same for tobacco as we do for alcohol.
We got an email from Sonia. Young women and men across the nation at the age of 18 are able to sign their lives away to protect the country, but they're not able to have a smoke or take a drink until the age of 21. She saw that as something worth noting. So can you talk about that, Gina? And is that the older you get when you start smoking, are you more likely to be able to beat the habit and not become a lifelong habit?
Well, our brain isn't fully developed until about 25, 26, so we don't really understand the full consequences until, you know, our brain is fully developed. But just think about this. So in the United States, 2,800 American children under the age of 18 try their first cigarette, and another 700 become new daily smokers. So we're talking about 250,000 new underage daily smokers in this country every year. And so if that rate persists, 5.6 million children alive today will die prematurely from the consequences of smoking. Lung cancer, throat cancer, heart attacks, strokes. There are so many illnesses and diseases that are related with tobacco use. So if you look at it in that grand scale, we are trying to save the lives of these children.
So it seems like there's been a very successful campaign in the United States to reduce tobacco use. People don't smoke nearly as much as they used to 20 years ago. Why not just continue with that? I mean, why go to the point of prohibition?
Well, prohibition's extreme, and we have seen the effects of what happens with
prohibition. Well, this is a prohibition for anyone under the age of 21.
Under the age of 21, because we know what the consequences are for the health consequences that can happen with smoking. And we see the data that says that if you start smoking at a younger age, there's a higher likelihood of them being adult smokers. But if I may, I want to go back to the tobacco retailers. So with the program, the Prevention Resource Center, we educate 1,800 tobacco retailers in our area. So that's 28 counties that we cover. And what we do is we educate retailers. We don't give out citations, but we make sure they're in compliance with state law, make sure they're in compliance with state law. But the thing is that if 20% of these retailers are non-compliant with the state, then that affects our SINAR money. So that's federal money that comes to the state of Texas, and we are penalized by the millions. So it's important that we make sure those retailers are in compliance.
Okay, we'll be talking about that implementation of this new ordinance when we come back from the break. What do you think about 21 for smoking? The number to call in is 210-614-8980.
When Houston poet Marley Lezama was growing up, he had a hard time finding material that spoke to him on a personal level.
Since I was a brown kid in a bad neighborhood, my teachers would only have one book to recommend to me, which was Sandra Cisneros' House on Mango Street. And I've been told to read this book like 100 times.
He found his voice instead in hip-hop. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the drive for San Antonio. They're raising the age to buy a pack of cigarettes or any tobacco product, nicotine product, to 21 years old. That goes into effect on October the 1st after the ordinance was passed earlier this year. What do you think about raising the age to 21? Some retailers have objected to this. They call it an unfair tobacco ordinance targeting city retailers, and they point out that San Antonio has many municipalities in the area, like Balcones Heights, that they could just go there. Raising the legal age to purchase tobacco products from 18 to 21 by city ordinance puts our members in San Antonio at a competitive disadvantage because customers can simply go a little further down the road, take their businesses outside the city limits. Customers who buy tobacco products can also buy gasoline and groceries at these other places. They will be losing more than just a profit from these tobacco sales. If you got a question or comment, give us a call, 210-614-8980. So Mario Martinez, interim assistant director for the Environmental Health and Safety Division for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, what's your response to what the official San Antonio retailers' statement is?
Sure. So we realize that there's several municipalities here in the San Antonio area, and I will say that Dr. Bridger and I went to a meeting of mayors, the Greater Burke County Council of Cities, back on March 21st. So this is where Dr. Bridger presented on Tobacco 21. And in addition to that background to Tobacco 21 and the ordinance, we let them know that Metro Health is here as a resource and available to provide technical assistance. And the other thing, too, is that it's important to note that out of the 78% of the surveyed residents, this is before the passage of the ordinance, those that supported increasing the age, those residents were from across the San Antonio area, not just specific to the city of San Antonio. So we are making efforts in that regard and following up with those municipalities.
And what are the retailers telling you when y'all are already educating them? What are they saying?
So yes, interesting. Yesterday again, in a meeting with their health inspectors for going out and delivering these fact sheets on the tobacco ordinance, they're saying that the tobacco retailers are respectful and knowledgeable about the ordinance, and this is good for us to hear. But we're going to continue that education and engagement face to face, email, mail, social media, and other ways to reach out between now and on October 1st.
Let's go to the callers, Diana. And Diana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say my mom, who is 87, quit smoking in 1975. She was just diagnosed with lung cancer. People don't understand that the damage they do when they're young can show up so much later. I was raised in a household where both my parents smoked. I have a 25% higher risk of lung cancer, and I've never smoked a day in my life. So I am so supportive of the city in doing anything they can to help keep young people from starting the habit.
Diana, thank you for the call. And I'm going to go straight to Regina. Regina, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, my story is I started smoking at 16, and it was pretty much you would get it from the seniors that were already 18 in high school. Once I turned 18, I got pneumonia, and from there they found out that I had cancer. So problems developed very early with cigarettes and the causes of it, and I do agree that raising it to 21, yeah, I couldn't get a senior to buy me a beer, but I could get them to buy me cigarettes. And I've been a survivor now for about 10 years. And I honestly do agree that this should be changed to 21 because I wouldn't have had the problems I have now. And if you take a picture of my lungs right now, you could see like there's like lightning rods through them. And it's just pretty ridiculous. That would have saved me a lot of trouble back then.
Regina, thank you so much for the call. I'm glad you're doing well now. So as this becomes the ordinance on October the 1st, how do y'all enforce it? Where are there going to be fines? Will y'all be doing like secret shoppers? Who's going in and buying cigarettes at 19 years old? I mean, how does that work?
So, yes, the tobacco ordinance takes effect October 1st. And first and most important is continued education with retailers and our community. If we see a retailer in October, November, that still does not have a poster or employee acknowledgement form, we will educate them, remind them about the new ordinance, provide that information if needed, and then do a follow-up.
So you're not going to be vindictive on the very first hardcore. You're going to be continue to work with people until when? When does it really become like, listen, we've worked with you now, let's no more games?
Right. So then starting January 2019, in addition to the annual Tobacco 21 inspections, we'll use the random decoy compliance checks in their community. And so what we've done is looked at the 10 council districts and then do a random selection of 10 retailers in each of those council districts. And so that would include a decoy that goes in with the health inspector. But what we know now is that the majority of the tobacco retailers actually comply with state law. So we see that there will be a similar compliance with Tobacco 21.
According to Clayton Perry, a councilperson, he says that San Antonio has a 98% compliance with inspections. So we've done really well in this area enforcing the law to 18. I mean, so they're saying there's no need to go to 21. He's opponent, Councilman Perry's opponent of this 21 ordinance. So any reaction to that?
So well, we go back to, you know, the importance of what we just heard from callers.
Right.
You know, and how important it is to start early to avoid getting young people and young adults addicted to the effects of tobacco and nicotine.
Okay, here's another caller. This is Jose. And Jose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, sir.
So my question was, if the ultimate goal is to control teenagers' choices rationally, wouldn't we want them to eventually get to the point where nicotine, tobacco, and alcohol purchases are limited by a 25 age limit, according to brain maturity?
Okay. So he's using this slippery slope argument. So 21 now, 25 later. I mean, is this where you're going to be holding the line? Is 21? I mean, is there anywhere else in the country where over 21 is the limit where you buy cigarettes or tobacco? This is it. National, pretty much accepted. That's what. So another thing that happens when you raise the age to 21 for tobacco products, you have to be 21 now to buy things like bongs and water pipes and things that people use for you know, marijuana consumption, but they say it's for tobacco use only, and they're able to get around the law by saying it's for tobacco use. Now you have to be 21 to buy these things. Is that an unintended consequence, a positive or negative, or I don't know, you tell me, was that even talked about as this ordinance was being developed? Mario?
So I'm kind of looking at the ordinance. So, you know, so including but not limited to a cigarette, the cigar, pipe tobacco, chewing tobacco, and all that. And so what we're looking at is youth behavior. And so if we're using products that will lead them eventually to smoking e-cigarettes, so we're trying to look at it from that perspective.
Okay.
And preventing them from building that behavior.
But then, but retailers also need to be made aware that this does include bongs and other uses, that people, things that people used for smoking marijuana, right? Gina?
Well, it says tobacco products, and under the state law right now, I mean, that applies to cigarettes, it applies to the e-cigs, it applies to tobacco products, smokeless tobacco products. But when you see some of these pipes or bongs, as you per se, they're considered like accessories or devices.
But it's considered a tobacco use, and you have to be 18 years old in order to buy one now.
Okay. I would have to fall back on the ordinance on that one.
All right. Okay. So now, so how many retailers are we talking about here? Are we talking about, are there a lot that have to be advised?
So the San Antonio area, there's roughly about 14 to maybe 1,500 within the city of San Antonio. Because Gina was talking about her region, which is much more than San Antonio.
And so, and you're asking them to come to these meetings that you're having? You're having stakeholder meetings. And is that for the retailers? Are those the stakeholders?
So stakeholders include community, that's youth, their parents, family, and also tobacco retailers. So the stakeholder meetings are one of several opportunities that we have with engaging the community. So in addition to that, like I mentioned earlier, having health inspectors out and visiting tobacco retailers, as we move into the summer and fall, we'll be hosting informational sessions across the community that, again, other opportunities to engage young people, their families, and even tobacco retailers.
So, and there's one on April 11th, and this is to, I mean, you're saying you're gathering input about the Tobacco 21 ordinance, but the ordinance, and that's been decided. That's, I mean.
Correct. So this is about getting input on the education pieces for community and also education for the retailers. How would they want to see that rolled out into the community? Schools, faith-based organizations, nonprofits, how would they like that information shared with their young people? And the same thing with tobacco retailers.
So we talked about how people, if you're young, if you're 19 years old and you've been smoking since you've been 18, you're probably hooked. What do you do with that guy now that he can't buy cigarettes at 21?
Right. So we have a page on Metro Health, sanantonio.gov/tobacco21, where there's a tab for tobacco cessation. There's resources there are for folks who are looking for information like that.
All right. So we know one meeting is on April 11th, and the other one is?
So same date in the evening at 6 p.m.
Oh, so two on that same day.
Correct.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank both of our guests as we've been talking about raising the age of tobacco purchase, nicotine purchase to 21 in San Antonio, Mario Martinez, San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, and Gina Juarez with the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.